let me close here, and said this here in Isaiah 35 and verse 3. He said, strengthen ye the weak hands. In other words, tell the people who are tired, who have been walking and saying, look, we're getting tired of this. We're not seeing any measurable, all right, nothing is coming in. He says, strengthen that. And that's what I'm doing this morning. He says, strengthen the feeble knees. People that want to give up on prayer, is it really producing anything? He says, confirm the feeble knees. Let them understand that there's power. Right? But you're not going to change anything, your land, by just praying, God change the land. What you're going to do is you're going to come up in prayer. So Jesus, that's the prayer for water. And he is going to pour the water out in answer to your prayer. And when the water gets into your innermost being, when it comes out with your declarations as streams, it will get multiplied. That's kingdom power in you. It gets multiplied. The same thing Jesus told the woman at the well. He said, if you knew who it was that was asking for water, you would have asked, I will have given you water, and that water in you will have become a well. In other words, it will become something in you, springing up to life eternal. In other words, springs were going to come out of this particular thing, right? And that well there is, the Bible says in Proverbs 16, 12, 22, you can put that up, understanding is a wellspring of life to them that have it. So he says, you will come up and I will give you an understanding. That's what he's saying. I will show you something. And when I give you that understanding, from that understanding, you will make declarations. And out of you, rivers will begin to flow, right, into every single thing that you are doing. It says, say unto them that of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. Even God with a recompense, he will come and save you. Now, it says God is coming with vengeance. What does that mean? That God is coming and is angry and is now coming with vengeance and he says he's going to save you. Why is there vengeance there? The reason is this. I mean, let's paint a picture here. If you have a friend and the friend, let's say, all right, they say that, you know, let's just say 100,000 got missing and then they carried people and they threw them into the cell and they told your friend was in the cell, so you went there to go and help, and you found out they said 100, we don't really know who it is that did that, all right, we want our money back, and you said, all right, no problem, 120,000, you can go, tell my friend to go, and he says, no problem, and then you go, and you sign the deal, you sign the papers there for his release, and you leave. You now come back. The second time you're coming back, you hear that your friend is still in cell after the ransom has been paid. You come back now, not the first time you went as a meek person to find out what was going on. Now you come back with authority. Now what do you mean? After I paid 120,000 for Israel, you are talking, what do you mean by that? So God says, I'm coming back now because Jesus Christ, through his blood, he has ransomed you and paid in full for your deliverance from that situation. You should not be there for just one more second because the ransom has been paid in full. The word redemption is to buy a man out of slavery permanently. In other words, the exactors cannot exact upon this person because he has been bought out and is a free citizen. So God says, what are you saying? Are you saying that my child is still in bondage, struggling about something? And he begins, he says, I am coming with vengeance. I am coming to save you. Now, here is where we miss it. He says, when I come to save you, we think what he's going to do, he's going to bring us out of that place and put us somewhere else, or he's going to cause our enemies to die, all kinds of things. Are you following what I'm saying here? He says, I will come with vengeance and I will save you. And what will he do? He says there, the next verse in verse 5, then the eyes of the blind shall be opened. And the ears of the deaf shall be what? Unstopped. Now, get this. We are going into the exceeding greatness of his power. Paul said in order to get there, he says he prayed that God will give unto them the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus, that the eyes of their understanding might be opened, that they might come to know, which means in order to be able to get to the place where God does exceedingly abundantly above. Remember, they gave the book to somebody that was learned. He looked at it and said, I cannot read it, it's sealed. They gave it to the learned man. He said, this book is sealed. So God says, I am coming in that situation to unseal the thing, and you are going to see something in the book that, do you understand what I'm saying? So when you are in a job there, you say, well, I'm having problems here. I'm having problems in my business. I know that God says, I want to open your eyes to see something in the world you haven't seen before. But what we are praying about is this. We are praying that God, this is the order, God should change the land. God says, no, I want to give you the water and you will change the land by pumping the water into it. He says, what's that water? I said, come up without money. He says, come and hear. We saw this last week. And the woman with the issue of blood spent all she had. God took her and opened up the ears, all right, and said, listen, she heard something. And the minute she heard it, she said, now I got it. All right, he says, I got it now. All right, I will touch the hem of his garment. He says, that's what I want to open your eyes. What we're trying to do is that we're trying to pray. That's why Paul kept saying, fill them with the knowledge of his will. Fill them with the knowledge of your will, not wisdom and spiritual understanding. Once they get that, they work well, they'll be fruitful in every good work. We are not asking to be filled with the knowledge of his will. We are asking for fruitfulness in every good work. We are asking God to heal us instead of asking him to open our eyes to see that we are healed. Are you following what I'm saying here? And once you see it in the realm of the spirit, like Elisha said, he said, God opened his eyes. And his eyes were open. He said, I didn't know it was like this. So it's this kind, he says, those who are in prison, what I'm going to do is to open up your eyes. The Bible says there is much food in the tillage of the poor. The man that lacks is because he that is in want, he lacks discernment. He cannot see. So he says, open up. That's why even people that do turn around, which means they'll buy a failing company and say, we guarantee you the company will succeed. In other words, buy it up, they sell it cheap, they take it, they turn the thing around, make it a profitable business. They know that anything that is failing, there is something there. Open up my eyes, let me see. And then he opens up your eyes there. He says, then I'll open up the eyes of the undead. Then shall the lame man leap as the hart, and the tongue of the dumb shall sing. For in the wilderness, waters shall break out. In the wilderness says waters, which means that once you open your eyes there, you start seeing things, then the waters now start breaking out in the wilderness. The waters start breaking out in the wilderness, right? Water now, because you can see some, you've heard something, right, in the word of God, now the waters. So we all, and I'll close with that, but we all should be what you call sitting prophets. In other words, we sit down with the word of God, we gain remarkable insight into God's word. It says, if you read it and you can see it in the book, he said, if it's your own idea, then I have no insurance cover over that. That's what God is saying. But if you see it in the book, and he says, most of religious activity is what is taught by the precept of men. If you can see it inside the book, he said, not one of these things that you can see will fail. Put up Isaiah 45 and verse 12. It says this here, right? So, I mean, can you imagine? Somebody's in a situation, we are praying, God deliver that person. God deliver that man. God says, you know, what you should pray is that God open his eyes to see he's delivered. Are you following me? Open his eyes to see he's delivered. Open his eyes to see he's delivered. F.M. Butler, you say it this way. Instead of going and saying, pray for me that I might be healed. He said, what you should say is, give me the instructions through which I will know I will be healed. Show me in the word of God. So the person comes, and because of the way African culture is, and we have got to Christianity, is that someone comes and says, you know, somebody who's come to this church, I saw him in England, we met, and his wife lost her mother. And so I asked him, because I see him in church, but I now saw him around the area. So I said, so we sat down, we said, I said, so how did you get to this church? Then he told me the story. He said, there are times you will be preaching and tears will come to my eyes. Said, I will put on my sunglasses. He said, it's the first time in my life I knew that a person could get delivered by just hearing the word. He said, what the way I was trained was that you go to the man of God to pray for you. He said, but the word of God by itself set us free. It was the first time we really had that deep kind of conversation. So I was asking, how did you go in church? The wife said, you see me here, my mother died, we've come to bury my mother. I went to see her in the morgue there, and I came to see you, and we are talking here. He said, it is the word in my system. He said, if you go with me naturally, I'll have broken down. So Paul, what he was praying was that. And he says, that's how you get to the exceeding greatness of his power. Now, put verse 11. Thus saith the Lord God, verse 11. The Holy One of Israel and his Maker, ask of me concerning things to come, concerning my sons, and concerning the work of my hands, command ye me. You know what God is saying? If you ask me, all right, as said Jeremiah said, great and mighty things you know not. If you ask me about those things, and I show you those things, he said, you command my work of my hands to perform them. In other words, you declare them with authority, and I'm bound by what I've shown you. Now, if it's your own, you know, idea, then that can be a problem. But he says, if you ask, that your eyes be opened up, and you see certain things. You know, and we make, particularly, if you have been a Christian for long, and you think that you are now knowledgeable, all right, in the things of God, that you know the scriptures. Listen, all right, and you've read the books, and you know the scriptures. Let me tell you what God will do to you. Let me tell you how you will know you are not saying well. You are going to have a situation on your hands that will defy everything you know. Will defy. And you cannot deny that you know God is good, and inside his will, all right, it is not, you can see it there. But you deny everything. God says, that is why, you know, you needed to come up to me on every issue there and ask that I open. So that, because what you are trying to use to solve the situation is what you were taught by men, not what you saw yourself. Are you following what I'm saying here? And what happened, particularly if you came from a campus fellowship? Let me tell you what happens. Because once you're from campus fellowship and you all read similar books, right, you do not know subconsciously. What happens is, if anybody deviates from anything inside those books and says something different, he'll be ostracized from any form of leadership within the place. So in order to maintain your position, you are repeating things that you didn't even see. Then you have a situation on your hands that is not answering to anything that you know. And Jesus said, if you had said you were blind, you would have seen. But now you say you can see. He says, so you remain blind. Look at what he says in 2 Corinthians 4 here. And I'll close with the scripture here. And we see all that power. Remember the exceeding greatness of his power that raised Jesus from the dead. Is this power getting to rivers of living water? Now, Paul said, 2 Corinthians 4:1. Seeing that we have this ministry, we faint not. And we have renounced hidden things of dishonesty. Not walking in craftiness, which means we don't have to use any underhanded method. Seeing the ministry. Seeing the power that is there. No need to do anything. He said, but if our gospel be hid, this news, it is hid to them who are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not. Now, this is where the problem comes. People believe that that scripture is only referring to unbelievers. That because I am born again, that blindfold has been completely removed. And therefore, it doesn't speak to me. Now, once you do that, you'll lose every other thing that goes with it. And I'm saying that, all right? Then you're confronted with a situation and God is saying, all you need is to ask me to open. I mean, if the blindfold was completely removed, why did Paul go in Ephesians and pray that God will give you the spirit of, didn't they have the Holy Ghost, of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding, if you read it in Greek, it says the eyes of your heart may be opened. So what happens is, people have said, and is this glorified teaching, all right, of us in, with God and creating ourselves almost like we and God are equals, all right? Okay, right? And Jesus didn't behave that way. If you read Paul did not behave that way. When Paul's assistant was sick, Paul didn't come out and say, you know what? I know that you're healed by the sword of Jesus. I don't take that. Paul said that God, that I might not have sorrow upon sorrow, he had mercy on me and healed him. Paul. In other words, he understood he is the creator and the creature. Paul was never lost on that. This was a man that a snake went around, they beat him, nothing happened. You could see his disposition, all right? He said, I came in fear and trembling. You could see the disposition. Paul at one point said, he said, I had the sentence of death on myself. In other words, I had given up. He said, but God showed up. So you could see there, you know, these men didn't carry themselves like, the Bible says Jesus in the days of his flesh offered up prayers with strong cries that though he were a son, You can't be more than a son than Jesus. He said, we cried unto him that was able to save him. He knew. This is why, you know, people teach us the righteousness. This is why sin is rampant, because it takes real prayer for you to, your eyes to be open to see some things. And when you don't do that, then you don't see anything. And when you don't see anything, you are just talking the language and no manifestation. That's what's going on. So he says this, of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel, which is the image of God. Now, the gospel is good news. In other words, you are in a situation, you are crying, he says, listen, there's light for that situation. There's good news for that situation. There's something you can see in the word of God, and every form of sorrow and sign will disappear. He said, ask that, and I'll show you. Then he goes on. He says, once you get that light, for we preach not ourselves but Jesus, and ourselves servants for your sake. And then he goes on and says in verse 6, who commanded the light to shine and shine in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of his glory, of glory in the face of Jesus Christ. So when that light comes in to you, which is what happens when your eyes are opened, all right? I mean, let's be real. If we are all in a desert place, we are all, and somebody comes to tell you, I have rivers of living water by me. And everything. And you stand there for 5 years and both of you are experiencing the same thing. You will tell him you are lying. Are you following what I'm saying? If this place is dark, suddenly lights go off and someone says, I know the way out, and we follow you and hit our heads on the wall, we will quickly say, you do not know the way out. So the way you show that you can see is that you get things done that no other person who you say is in darkness can access. It's practical. If it is not so, then go back and pray. Don't just make the assumption. This is where a lot of people missed it. So he says this. Then he goes on and then says, now remember the light of them, so they believe not. Then he goes here right down in verse 13. We have in the same spirit of faith. According as is written, I believe, therefore have I spoken. We also believe, therefore we speak. And he says, knowing that he that raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise us up by him. In other words, when the blindfold is removed over your eyes and you see something that is written inside the word of God and you see it there, you believe that thing, you declare that thing out of your lips that you have seen, the same spirit that raised up Jesus goes to work and raises you up to that particular thing. But it has to be something you saw. Are you following what I'm saying? It's not something that, that's what Job said. He said, I heard of thee with the hearing of my ear. Now with my eyes I see you. Right? A man once was, an elderly man, he was almost dying, falling off the pulpit. Kenneth Hagin spoke about this man, and he said he went, and his, two of his church members didn't believe in healing. Two of his church members got healed. He said he knew they were sick, so when they came back healed, they went for a revival. He said, I knew these guys were sick. I know. He said, we have seen them. He said, this healing must be real. He went into the woods for 2 weeks. He came back after with the Bible, and said, completely healed. He said, what happened? He said, I stayed with the word of God until I saw it myself. I saw it myself. Not that, you know, because there's so much knowledge now, people, mental ascent looks like revelation. This is what's going on. Somebody is saying something, you say, well, I know what he's saying. But mentally, you understand it. But you don't have the revelation in your heart. And when you don't have the revelation in your heart, you cannot have the authority to say it out of your lips. In fact, Isaiah said, God said, they honor me with their lips, which means they even say things, but it says their heart is not there. So if you see down there and you have those kind of encounters as an individual where you see things in the word of God, then you start declaring those things into what you are doing. Start declaring those things into your family. Start declaring. The river starts coming out. The water is the insight. The river is when you start proclaiming it out of your lips. It starts gushing out of you and starts going into it, going into your body, going into your family, going into every single aspect of your life. And you're doing that, and the waters begin to rise, and everywhere starts. And you start declaring that out of your lips, and things begin to happen. And then as those things begin to get in, all right, and get into what you're doing, then things start growing. And then you start finding out, you're going to know the amount of potential that is contained in this particular thing that I'm doing. I mean, you didn't know. I mean, in this church, there is no way. No way I will know what the potential that is inside the church. I mean, how am I going to know? I mean, there might be somebody here. Somebody could be here that God has embedded inside his heart that is going to start a church in China, and one day they're going to be 200,000. I mean, how in the world would I know that? So there is so much in people. All you can just do is keep pouring out the waters there. Keep pouring out the waters there. All right? Just like the guy who was doing a mini cap. He didn't know there was so much inside there. You keep pouring the water, and then things begin to evolve. And then things begin to evolve. And then you follow that. Don't just come and say, you know, I just heard a voice. And the voice told me this is what I'm going to do. Look, my friend. Look. In spiritual things, there's what you call the exception. There's what you call the rule. Paul got born again by an exception. Jesus appeared. That's not how everybody gets born again. Right? You hear a story about something that is spectacular and you want to integrate it into your own life. You are saying voices. Listen, the way things work, there is a supernatural. All right? Some say, this is what God called me. Look, if 20 years ago, nobody had any business idea that bothered on the internet because it was not in existence. So all the people doing business, the internet business, where was the vision? It's got something. So what I'm saying is that if you keep putting stuff into your life, things will begin to spring. And that's the way you go with God. You keep prophesying. Say, where are you going? I will know soon. Keep prophesying. The earth will bring something. A relationship will form. You go with the relationship. I had no plan. That's why when people say, look, let's have a whole plan. I mean, I can do that. If you ask me, you want calendar, I give you calendar, then I follow the Holy Ghost. Are you following what I'm saying here? And they asked them when. They said, people keep telling them, we need to know your songs before you lead praise and worship. They were putting him under pressure in his church. He said, so he gave them the songs. And when he got there, he sang the one the Holy Ghost said he should sing. But it was last night that he just occurred to me, Harvey said, call this guy to do this. This is why you met him twice. Call him to meet with entrepreneurs in church. Have a business seminar. When he told me the story, and let him share and with people. And maybe he will tell you what he does, that he makes, maybe if he says it with his own mouth, all right? But you know that. And I sent him a text this morning. As I was coming from second service here, he said, it will be my pleasure to do this. So let's set the date. And I said, February. I didn't know that day before yesterday. Are you following me? If I'm listening to him and he says something that carries me in another direction, I will go with that. Because I'm following prophetic utterances, not my brain. Are you following what I'm saying here? Because when I read the Bible, it corresponds. That's what Joel said. He said, this is that which is written. You prophesy things, you see it, you say, this is that I said. And that's how you begin to go with the Holy Ghost into major things that you do and get great results. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word by the power of your Spirit. I ask that you bring us into a full understanding of this principle of your Spirit and your power, that our lives will completely be transformed by the rivers of living water in the name of Jesus Christ, that things will spring out of our lives this year that we weren't even thinking about at the beginning of the year. Glorious and powerful things that will exceed in abundant measure that which we have planned or thought. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening.